Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Today, I'd like us to consider resolving critical marriage problems through application of the laws of marriage. Resolving critical marriage problems through the application of the law of marriage. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. Malachi 2, 11 to 16. Genesis chapter 1, 28. Genesis chapter 2, 18 to 25. And we will be through with reading the word for today. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 8 to 12. Malachi 2, 11 to 16. Genesis 1, 28. And Genesis 2, 18 to 25. So let's begin from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he will call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. "There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, but he never asks, 'For whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a great misfortune. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Malachi chapter 2, verse 11 to 16. "Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord God cut off from the tent of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, 'For what reason?' Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. For it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously." Amen. Resolving critical marriage problems using the laws of marriage. If someone were to tell you that you are going to get married and stay all through marriage without having misunderstanding or challenges in marriage, a person may not have told you completely the truth about that institution. Even the woman that God himself gave to Adam brought trouble to Adam. Remember when God showed up in the garden and told Adam, "Why did you do this?" Adam told God to his face, "It is the woman that you brought in my life that gave me the fruit to eat." In other words, if you didn't give me the woman, I'm sure I would not have offended you. And so there will always be challenges in marriage. There will always be problems, as it were. There will always be issues in marriage. But you know, when God was angry with Adam and with his wife, God punished them by sending them out of the garden. And God went ahead to tell Adam that because you have done this, you will toil with the sweat of your face before you eat. And then God sent an angel to drive them away from the garden. If you were Adam as a man, I'm sure that you would have left Eve behind as your wife and said, "You caused all this trouble, to hell with you. You caused me all this trouble. Go to your father's house." How many times have you not attempted to send your wife packing because of one challenge or the other? How many times have you not threatened to leave your home because your husband didn't do well? But you know what Adam did? God melted out the punishment to them. Instead of Adam leaving Eve behind, the one who caused the problem in the first place, Adam went out with Eve. Together they went into the punishment. Together they served the punishment. Together they endured what God did. Praise God. And that is a living example for all of us to follow. Adam was able to manage the crisis in his marriage such that it didn't lead to separation. In Malachi chapter 2, where we read, the Bible said God hates divorce. God hates putting away. Don't even contemplate it. Don't even think about it. He hates it. And if he hates it, you must learn to hate it. You need to learn to put honor on the things that God puts honor on. He hates divorce. Learn to hate what God hates. If God says, "I don't want you to put your wife away," please don't even contemplate it, no matter the grievance, no matter the gravity of the offense. So many homes end in divorce and separation today because they violate the conditions God himself has already made or set for marriage. If we must live blissfully and become better and not bitter in our marriage, then we must embrace the laws of marriage as stipulated by God himself. We cannot impose another set of rules or another set of laws on a game that already has its own laws. When you are playing a game, you don't come with the rules of the game. Every game has its rules. If you are playing chess, chess has its rules. Whatever game you are playing, there are rules. And so you don't impose your rules on the game. Likewise, we should not impose our rules on the game of marriage that God himself has already placed. Pains in marriage are a warning signal of imposing wrong rules in marriage. When there are pains, when there is affliction in marriage, it's just a signal that somewhere somebody is trying to impose a rule that is contrary, that is strange to the rules that has already been imposed. God has anointed the laws that govern the institution of marriage. Understanding and applying these laws will bring you and your home a freshness. Now let's consider the laws quickly. Number one, the law of definition. The law of definition. I'm talking about how you can apply the knowledge of this law to help solve marriage crisis, to help live in peace. It is one thing to gather people together and they celebrate your marriage. It is another thing to sustain that marriage, keep that marriage together in one beat, and bring glory to God. The law of definition of marriage must be correct. Your definition of marriage must be correct if your marriage is going to be blissful. Marriage is a divine joining. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is not a business. Marriage is not a family arrangement. Marriage is not cohabitation. So you must understand how to define marriage. Define it in the light of God. Marriage is not business. Today, so many persons have turned marriage into business. And mostly the people that travel abroad, they say, let's just agree and stay together for a period of 1 year or 2 years, and let me get this green card or whatever I want to get. Let me secure a job, and thereafter we will part ways. And before you know, they appear before the magistrate, or sometimes they even appear before the church, and they are joined. But right inside their heart, it is business they have come for. Marriage should not be business. It is not a profit-making thing. Marriage is not cohabitation. Marriage is not family arrangement. They said that our son is becoming too old. Let's arrange a woman for him. And you woke up one morning to discover that one woman has been brought before you, and suddenly you are married. That's not what marriage is. Marriage is not cohabiting together. Marriage is not a man and a woman coming together to make children. They have had 3 children, 4 children. None of them know from where each of them come from. They are just living together. Praise God. There is no marriage. And in such marriages, you hear the woman refer to her husband as Maoga. Maoga no day house. Praise God. That's no marriage. Marriage is not cohabitation. It is not a union proposed by man, but it is a union proposed by God. Like us to understand that marriage started by God. The idea didn't come from Adam. The idea was entirely God's idea. And God saw that the man was alone. And God knew that it wasn't good for the man to be alone. And God decided he was going to give the man an Eve and not a Steve. Praise God. And so God formed a woman and gave to the man. So it is God's idea. It is between a man and a woman. Marriage is not between a man and a man. I don't care what ideology and philosophies that men have, but I'd like you to understand that marriage is between a man and what? A woman. It's not between a man and a man. God didn't create a Steve. God created an Eve for Adam. So you don't say that, you know, we are living in a civil society, so everybody must be allowed to practice human rights. Once your definition is in agreement with God, then you are on the road of solution to whatever crisis you are going through in marriage. You must define marriage the way God defines it. It's a covenant. And I'd like you to understand, everybody that desires to marry, and everybody that is in marriage, that marriage is a strong agreement. The day you come before the presence of God and said, let nothing separate us until death do us part. If any other thing separates you, you have failed. It is a covenant that you are entering with each other, with God as your primary and major witness. Praise God. Number 2 law of marriage, the law of language and communication. The law of language and communication. Don't ever use language or communication to attack your spouse. Separate persons from issues. When it concerns your spouse, let it be a communication of love. Find out the love language of your spouse and start speaking it. Praise God. Don't use language to attack your spouse. You know, sometimes you will feel like calling your wife a goat, but please don't call her. Sometimes you feel like calling your husband a demon. Don't let it come out. Because sometimes you will speak, and when you finish speaking, the consequences of your words will become the greatest enemy to your marriage. Your husband or your wife may forget every other thing, but may be very difficult for them to forget the things that you say. We must understand the law of language and communication. You feel like calling her foolish. You feel like saying to her that she is nothing. Keep it inside of you. It is only the wise that think before they talk. But those who are not wise, they talk and then they begin to think. Understand the love language of the house and begin to speak it. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said the people gathered. Why? Because they heard the disciples speak every man his own language. So understand the language that moves the marriage together. Don't say the things that will separate you. Don't say the things that will keep you far away from each other. Speak the language of love. Praise God. Everyone heard their own language, and so they gathered. Build a powerful home with a good use of language. Let your communication at home be to improve your love life and help each other. Let your communication at home be that which will build the home. Praise God. Don't tear down your home with your mouth. I have never seen such a useless man as this before. Now, that's a wife talking. And you call your husband useless. 2 weeks after, you are going to need him to buy a shoe for you. And God help you if the man has not repented. He says, are you telling the useless man to buy you a shoe? Let the language at home be such that will build. I speak to everyone. Say the right thing to each other. Praise God. Can look at your wife and say, if not for the fact that I love you, I would have given you a dirty slap. But you know I love you. That's better than to look at her and say, I'm not surprised at your attitude. After all, your father and your mother, that's how they lived. What a language to speak. Praise God. And you know, some women take pride in it. Say, me, I don't get power, I don't get anything, but when I give you my mouth, you go stay for your body for 6 months. God delivers us sisters. They take pride. And said, I will not be able to do anything. But when I release one, it will pain you. And you know, some women will sit down to find that thing. Wait till I go talk now, we go pain them. Holy Spirit, help me. Remember, it is not the Holy Spirit that helped you. It is the Satan you carried into the marriage that you refused to let go. Amen. If you speak the right word, the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Learn to speak the right language. Law number 3, the law of becoming the right person. The law of becoming the right person. Stop looking for the right person in marriage. Start being the right person. Always ask yourself, what does God need me to be for this marriage to work? The law of being the right person. What does God need me to be as a man for this marriage to work? Don't enter a marriage with the notion of the men in your village and your community and say, this is the way the men in my community behave. Don't you know that I come from Bano? Praise God. Don't you know where I come from? By the time you begin to invoke that, you are also submitting to the gods that rules the people over there. Learn to be the right person. Ask yourself, God, what do you want me to be in this marriage so that this marriage can work? Because sometimes God will want you to be the one that will say, I am sorry, whether you are a man or a woman, whether you are the offender or the offendee. Praise God. God, what must I be to make my marriage work? As a man, as a woman. Scripture says in John chapter 1 verse 12, as many that received him, unto them he gave power to become. When you get married, you are entering an institution that you need to adjust to become something. And every man must become something for his marriage to work, just like every woman must become something. So God, what must I become? What must I be for this marriage to work? And what does my wife or my husband need me to be? Because every one of us, we enter into marriage with ideas in our heads. Maybe as a man, your father told you that if you see a woman who never carries water for her husband to wash her hand before she eats, that woman is a stubborn woman. And you are just watching out to prove your father's theology. And the moment your wife comes and drops the water on the table and leaves, I say, my father been talking. Hi, I don't enter one chance. Praise God. That's your father's idea. It may have worked well with your mother, but it won't work the same with your wife. The fact that she didn't carry the water and hold it and kneel down doesn't necessarily make her a bad wife. It's not an indication that she would be a bad wife. Praise the Lord. Learn to become the right person. What does my husband need me to be? If your husband always wants you to keep the house tidy, please learn to do it. The problem in a lot of marriages is because men and women have refused to adjust. The woman doesn't want to adjust. The man doesn't want to adjust. I like it this way. It must always be like that. So it was in the beginning. So will it be now? And so will it be forever? When you enter marriage, if you used to like iron beans, and your husband doesn't like iron beans, please look for a middle ground. Put the iron and the soft beans together, and it will give you a reaction of the kind of beans that the both of you will like. Don't say, now wait till I eat be this before you see me, come marry me. Praise God. Now wait till I eat be this. Check out, what does he want me to be? My husband wants this. Say how you can adjust to it. Say, if you don't like him, leave him. My papa like him. They say, monkey no fine, but then papa like him. You will soon go and live with your father. What does my wife want me to be? You know, a wife has an idea of what he wants the husband to be like. The biggest mistake in trying to change is trying to change the other person when you are not changing yourself. And it will cause problem. When you try to change another person, when you are not looking at yourself, change what your spouse is complaining about the most. If your husband is complaining about something, change it. If your wife is complaining about something, do what? Change it. She keeps complaining. He keeps complaining. I don't like the way you talk to me. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like this. I don't like that. Do what? Change it. It will keep the home. Don't say, this is what I am going to do. If you don't like it, you leave it. Everybody can write 10 things that their spouse need to change, and not what themselves need to change. Marriage will work if you know what you need to change and change it. Don't be selfish. Praise God. Marriage will work if you know what you need to change and you are willing to change it. Law number 4, the law of God's word. The law of God's word. The word of God must be the beginning and the ending of every issue in your marriage. You know, you hear some Christians disappointedly say, even though God come down from heaven, I will not change my mind. Are you still a child of God? The word of God should be your final court of appeal. If God says this is how it should be, it doesn't matter whose house is God, for God's sake. Jesus told Peter in Luke chapter 5, he said, take your net, cast it into the sea for a drought. And Peter said, Lord, we have toiled all the night, we have labored all the night, we caught nothing, nevertheless at your word. In other words, Peter was telling God, if you didn't say it, I will not do it. But because it is in your word, we must understand as children of God that therein in the word of God contains every solution to our marriage crisis. If God say, husband, love your wife. He didn't say love your wife because she's still beautiful. He didn't say love your wife because she's still figurehead. He didn't say love your wife as long as she loves you. He said, husband, loves your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband in all things. Every issue in the marriage can be handled by the word of God. And this is a major decision that everyone in marriage must take, to operate marriage by the law of the word of God and use the standard of truth from the word of God to resolve all problems in marriage. Don't operate your marriage by the law of your friends, by the opinion of your friends. You know, sometimes it is disappointing for men who are married to seek opinion from men who are not married because they are friends. You are married, your friend is not married, and you are going to ask your friend how you can treat your wife at home. He's going to tell you the way he's treating some of his girlfriends. And you know that a girlfriend and a wife are not the same. Both of them may be women, but they are not the same. So you see a married woman asking for advice from single ladies. I said, this is how my husband is behaving lately. Your single friends is telling you, so what did you do? He said, I just sat down there. He gave me a slap. What did you do? I just cried. He said, just cry? You mean he just cried? You mean you didn't give him a dirty slap back? And then you see her with confidence, getting ready to slap her husband the next time. And the day you slap the man, he sends you out of the home, you go to your friend and say, I slapped him the way you said. And your friend will tell you, but I didn't tell you to slap him like that now. Praise God. It's the same person that will say, you be mumu. If they say, put down for fire, you go put. The damage has already been done. Amen. Check out the word of God. It has the ingredient to make your marriage work. Law number 5, the law of responsibility. A man that provided not for those of his household is worse than an infidel. I'd like you to understand that marriage is a responsibility, it's not a relaxation. Marriage is not a picnic. Marriage is a responsibility. The faster you understand it and accept it, the better for your future, the better for your marriage. It is a responsibility. Spiritual responsibility, financial responsibility, physical responsibility, moral responsibility. Marriage is a responsibility. Marriage doesn't add to you. Marriage only amplifies what you already have. Say that again. Marriage will not put anything new in you. Marriage will only amplify what you have. So if you were a lazy girl before you got married, you will build a temple for laziness in your husband's house. Praise God. Don't say, when I get married, I will be hardworking. When I get married, I will be cooking. Now lie. The moment you get married, God helping you, you have 2 housemaids. You will enthrone laziness. If you were a stingy man when you were single, when you get married, you will not be generous. You will become stingier. Praise God. Marriage will only amplify what you already carry inside of you. It will give it a voice. So learn now to be the best you can be. You know, God said, he that findeth a wife. He didn't say he that finds a woman. So if you want to be found, become a wife wherever you are, and a man will find you. Praise God. There are many women, but God said, he that findeth a wife. So the responsibility to become a wife is now before the husband comes. Become a wife before the husband will show up. Are we still together? Marriage is a responsibility. Your spouse may wake you very late at night and said, I am feeling stomach upset. I don't know how I am feeling right inside of my body. You just shift your spouse aside and continue your sleep and you are snoring. Then when you wake up in the morning, say, hey, what did you say that last night? Praise God. It's a responsibility. You know, sometimes when a child was younger, sometimes the child would wake up in the night and then I'm busy sleeping. The mother is breastfeeding and running up and down. And then one day I told myself, what kind of husband are you, self? Praise God. And so I learned every time the child wakes up and the mother wakes up, may I also wake up so that she will not feel deprived. Let's share this responsibility together. What does the child need? Is it water? Okay, let me go and bring it. Want to change the pampers? Let me go and bring it. And some husbands will be snoring. Praise God. Marriage is a responsibility. She will tell you she needs to make her hair. He will tell you that he needs to eat pounded yam soup when you have already prepared ogbono soup? Responsibility. I know some husbands can be very funny. What they want to eat, you can't find it in ordinary market. Praise God. Amen. I begin to say, which kind of wahala be this? No be wahala, it's work. You accepted it. What your responsibility is, you must know. Whether as a wife or as a husband, it is two becoming one and not one divided into two. You are responsible directly for your family, for your children, for your parents. And you must be a biblical manager of the family and find under your unique roles and responsibilities and stick to them. Praise God. By the law of marriage, you have become a son to the mother of your wife. By the law of marriage, you have become a daughter to the mother of your husband. And so there should be no separation. He said, that one is my sister-in-law, this one is my sister. Praise God. You have become a sister by the law of marriage. So you treat them equally. Be responsible. There are men that have left their responsibility to their family, to their parents, simply because they got married. That's not what the Bible is saying. It says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. So as you are getting married, you are waving goodbye to all your brothers and all your sisters and your parents. He said, now I am cleaving to my wife. You are looking for the trouble of your wife, because when your parents start tormenting her, you will not be around. Praise God. The fact that you have left your father and your mother is not enough to renege in your responsibility to them. Understand the difference between your mother and your wife, the difference between your elder sister and your wife, and treat them like that. They are all women, but they are not at the same level as far as relationship is concerned. Your responsibility to your parents must not be overlooked for your marriage. Your responsibility to your marriage must not be overlooked for your parents. Did you hear me now? Marriage is a responsibility. Law number 6, the law of honor. Honor what God has honored. Example, God has placed honor on the husband. He said the man is the head of the home, as Christ is the head of the church. Wife, you must understand it. I don't care how vertically disadvantaged your husband may be. I don't care how poor your husband may be. I don't care how less educated he may be. But because you have chosen and agreed to marry him, God demands that you place honor on him. Praise God. Honor what God honors. When you learn to honor the thing that God places honor upon, you will automatically invoke honor on yourself. Another thing that God places honor on is marriage bed. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4. It says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But womongers and adulterers, God will judge. Are you still womanizing? Are you still keeping mistresses outside? You are calling for the judgment of God. I didn't say it. It is written in the Bible. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will do what? God will judge. Hear me and hear me well. It is easier when a man is judging you. But if God is going to judge you, he will leave no detail out. He's going to judge you with every detail involved in the matter. Learn to place honor on what God has placed honor on. Your marriage bed is honorable. Place honor on it. I hear some men tell their wives, they say, you are not the only woman on the earth. May God deliver your mouth. Why didn't you marry all the women the day you were married? The day you have chosen to marry her, you have made her the only woman as far as you are concerned. And so stop looking this way. You and your wife, you are going and you are just looking. And your wife will tap you and say, I don't like the way you are looking at that woman. You say, will you be quiet here? How am I looking at her? She knows the way you looked at her before you tagged her. And she saw that look. And he knows that that look is not an innocent look. Sisters, are we together now? Praise God. So instead of you wanting to behave like a man when your wife is telling you, I don't like the way you are looking at that sister. You say, what is that? Talk, talk. She understands the looks. She has lived with you. And she saw you the way you were looking at her the first day you saw her. And now you are looking at another woman like that. She said, my dear, this look will not end us well. All you need to do, make a covenant with your eyes. Praise God. Are we still together now? So understand that. You learn to place honor on what God honors. It's strange. When men, when wives, when husbands begin to dishonor their wives, their spouses. It is a mark of dishonor when you have to beat your wife. It's a mark of dishonor. You are not honoring her. You have koboko for your wife. When you have children, what will you have for them? Maybe you are going to buy 3 canes and label them. This one is for mommy. This one for first daughter. This one for second daughter. And the day your son makes mistakes, he says, go and bring me the cane. And he goes. Without knowing, bring the other one that belongs to your wife. He said, this one is mommy's own. Praise God. Amen. You dishonor your wife when you have to raise your hand on her. Praise God. Don't say she do the thing will make me bitter. Amen. The last law, the law of love. You must understand what love is to both of you and apply it. You know, love could be expressed differently and love could be accepted differently from different people. I'd like you to understand that love gives what the other wants and not what you want. Love will give to the other what he wants. So first and foremost, that's why the Bible said love is not selfish. Love seeks to please the other. So understand the law of love. My wife wants it. Love propels you to do it. Praise God. If myself and my wife had to go out and we passed through a place and she said, I like this thing. When I pass there the next time, I will buy that thing. Praise God. She likes it. She might say, go and buy it for me now. I'll behave as if I'm not hearing. But I will find a way to buy that same thing that she likes. Love gives what others want. Love is not selfish. Understand the law of love. Know what love means to each other. To your wife, love may mean waking up in the morning and tapping her and saying, how was your night? Hope you had a night's sleep. That may mean love to her. Learn it and give it to her. To your husband, love may just mean he comes back from work and you are the first to remove his shoes. Praise God. When I come back, maybe I travel, I come back and I have my traveling bag. And I have another bag that contains goodies. I am watching to see the one that my wife will collect first. Praise God. I know some wives have failed that examination. They will rush the one that looks like ice cream made by chicken. And the man is still carrying his heavy load. Praise God. To some, to your husband, love may just mean that you take care of his needs. That you are there for him. That may be love for him. It's not everybody that I love you means the same thing. Expressing love in words and emotion is what a woman wants, for instance. But a man does that by action. A little more love can quench the fire of crisis in your home. More love. A little love, a little attention can quench the fire of crisis. Praise God.